Tractate 3 John 1. 15-18. Part 2. Death was the punishment of sins, in the Lord was the gift of mercy, not the punishment of sin. For the Lord had nothing on account of which he should justly die. He himself says, Behold, the prince of this world cometh, and findeth nothing in me. Wherefore then dost thou die? But that all may know that I do the will of my Father, arise, let us go hence. 20. He had not in himself any reason why he should die, and he died. Thou hast such a reason, and dost thou refuse to die? Do not refuse to bear with an equal mind thy desert, when he did not refuse to suffer, to deliver thee from eternal death. A man and a man, but the one nothing but man, the other God-man. The one a man of sin, the other of righteousness. Thou didst die in Adam, rise in Christ, for both are due to thee. Now thou hast believed in Christ, render nevertheless that which thou owest through Adam. But the chain of sin shall not hold thee eternally, because the temporal death of thy Lord slew thine eternal death. The same is grace, my brethren, the same is truth, because promised and manifested. This grace was not in the Old Testament, because the law threatened, did not bring aid, commanded, did not heal, made manifest, but did not take away our feebleness, but it prepared the way for that physician who was to come with grace and truth, as a physician who, about to come to anyone to cure him, might first send his servant that he might find the sick man bound. He was not sound, he did not wish to be made sound, and lest he should be made sound, he boasted that he was so. The law was sent, it bound him, he finds himself accused, now, he exclaims against the bandage. The Lord comes, cures with somewhat bitter and sharp medicines, for he says to the sick, Bear, he says, endure, he says, love not the world, have patience, let the fire of continence cure thee, let thy wounds endure the sword of persecutions. Weft thou greatly terrified although bound? He, free and unbound, drank what he gave to thee, he first suffered that he might console thee, saying, As it were, that which thou fearest to suffer for thyself, I first suffer for thee. This is grace, and great grace. Who can praise it in a worthy manner? I speak, my brethren, regarding the humility of Christ. Who can speak regarding the majesty of Christ, and the divinity of Christ? In explaining and speaking of the humility of Christ, to do so in any fashion we find ourselves not sufficient, indeed wholly insufficient, we commend him entire to your thoughts, we do not endeavor to fill him up to your hearing. Consider the humility of Christ. But who, thou sayest, may explain it to us, unless thou declare it? Let him declare it within. Better does he declare it who dwelleth within, than he who crieth without. Let himself show to you the grace of his humility, who has begun to dwell in your hearts. But now, if in explaining and setting forth his humility we are deficient, who can speak of his majesty? If the Word made flesh disturbs us, who shall explain in the beginning was the Word? Keep hold then, brethren, upon the entireness of Christ. The law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. By a servant was the law given, and made men guilty, by an emperor was pardon given, and delivered the guilty. The law was given by Moses. Let not the servant attribute to himself more than was done through him. Chosen to a great ministry as one faithful in his house, but yet a servant, he is able to act according to the law, but cannot release from the guilt of the law. The law, then, was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And lest, perhaps, anyone should say, and did not grace and truth come through Moses, who saw God, immediately he adds, No one hath seen God at any time. And how did God become known to Moses? Because the Lord revealed himself to his servant. What Lord? The same Christ, who sent the law beforehand by his servant, that he might himself come with grace and truth. For no one hath seen God at any time. And whence did he appear to that servant as far as he was able to receive him? But the only begotten, he says, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. What signifieth in the bosom of the Father? In the secret of the Father. For God has not a bosom, as we have, in our garments, nor is he to be thought of sitting, as we do, nor is he girt with a girdle so as to have a bosom, but because our bosom is within, the secret of the Father is called the bosom of the Father. And he who knew the Father, being in the secret of the Father, he declared him. For no man hath seen God at any time. He then came and narrated whatever he saw. What did Moses see? Moses saw a cloud, he saw an angel, he saw a fire. All that is the creature, it bore the type of its Lord, but did not manifest the presence of the Lord himself. For thou hast it plainly stated in the law, and Moses spake with the Lord face to face, as a friend with his friend. 21. Following the same scripture, thou findest Moses saying, If I have found grace in thy sight, show me thyself plainly, that I may see thee. And it is little that he said this, he received the reply, Thou canst not see my face. An angel then spake with Moses, My brethren, bearing the type of the Lord, and all those things which were done by the angel promised that future grace and truth. Those who examine the law well know this, and when we have opportunity to speak somewhat of this matter also, we shall not fail to speak to you, beloved brethren, as far as the Lord may reveal to us. But know this, that all those things which were seen in bodily form were not that substance of God. For we saw those things with the eyes of the flesh, how is the substance of God seen? Interrogate the gospel, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 22. There have been men who, deceived by the vanity of their hearts, have said, The Father is invisible, but the Son is visible. How visible? If on account of his flesh, because he took flesh, the matter is manifest. For of those who saw the flesh of Christ, some believed, some crucified, and those who believed doubted when he was crucified, and unless they had touched the flesh after the resurrection, their faith would not have been recalled. If, then, on account of his flesh the Son was visible, that we also grant, and it is the Catholic faith, but if before he took flesh, as they say, that is, before he became incarnate, they are greatly deluded, and grievously err. For those visible and bodily appearances took place though the creature, in which a type might be exhibited, not in any fashion was the substance itself shown and made manifest. Give heed, beloved brethren, to this easy proof. The wisdom of God cannot be beheld by the eyes. Brethren, if Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God, 23 If Christ is the Word of God, and if the Word of man is not seen with the eyes, can the Word of God be so seen? Expel, therefore, from your hearts carnal thoughts, that you may be really under grace, that you may belong to the New Testament. Therefore is life eternal promised in the New Testament. Read the Old Testament, and see that the same things were enjoined upon a people yet carnal as upon us. For to worship one God is also enjoined upon us. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain is also enjoined upon us, which is the second commandment. Observe the Sabbath day is enjoined on us more than on them, because it is commanded to be spiritually observed. For the Jews observe the Sabbath in a servile manner, using it for luxuriousness and drunkenness. How much better would their women be employed in spinning wool than in dancing on that day in the balconies? God forbid, brethren, that we should call that an observance of the Sabbath. The Christian observes the Sabbath spiritually, abstaining from servile work. For what is it to abstain from servile work? From sin. And how do we prove it? Ask the Lord. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. 24. Therefore is the spiritual observance of the Sabbath enjoined upon us. Now all those commandments are more enjoined on us, and are to be observed: Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. 25. Are not all these things enjoined upon us also? But ask what is the reward, and thou wilt find it there said, that thine enemies may be driven forth before thy face, and that you may receive the land which God promised to your fathers. 26. Because they were not able to comprehend invisible things, they were held by the visible. Wherefore held? Lest they should perish altogether, and slip into idol worship. For they did this, my brethren, as we read, forgetful of the great miracles which God performed before their eyes. The sea was divided, a way was made in the midst of the waves, their enemies following, were covered by the same waves through which they passed. 27. And yet when Moses, the man of God, had departed from their sight, they asked for an idol, and said, Make us gods to go before us, for this man has deserted us. Their whole hope was placed in man, not in God. Behold, the man is dead, was God dead who had rescued them from the land of Egypt? And when they had made to themselves the image of a calf, they offered it adoration, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which delivered thee out of the land of Egypt. 28. How soon forgetful of such manifest grace! By what means could such a people be held except by carnal promises? The same things are commanded in the Decalogue as we are commanded to observe, but the same promises are not made as to us. What is promised to us? Life eternal. And this is life eternal, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. 29. The knowledge of God is promised, that is, grace for grace. Brethren, we now believe, we do not see, for faith the reward will be to see what we believe. The prophets knew this, but it was concealed before he came. For a certain lover sighing, says in the Psalms, One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And dost thou ask what he seeks? For perhaps he seeks a land flowing with milk and honey carnally, although this is to be spiritually sought and desired, or perhaps the subjection of his enemies, or the death of foes, or the power and riches of this world. For he glows with love, and sighs greatly, and burns and pants. Let us see what he desires. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. What is it that he doth seek after? That I may well, saith he, in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And suppose that thou dwellest in the house of the Lord, from what source will thy joy there be derived? That I may behold, saith he, the beauty of the Lord. 30. My brethren, wherefore do you cry out, wherefore do you exult, wherefore do you love, unless that a spark of this love is there? What do you desire? I ask you. Can it be seen with the eyes? Can it be touched? Is it some fairness which delights the eyes? Are not the martyrs vehemently beloved, and when we commemorate them do we not burn with love? What is it that we love in them, brethren? Limbs torn by wild beasts? What is more revolting if thou askest the eyes of the flesh? What more fair if thou askest the eyes of the heart? How appears in your eyes a very fair young man who is a thief? How shocked are your eyes? Are the eyes of the flesh shocked? If you interrogate them, nothing is more shapely and better formed than that body. The symmetry of the limbs and the beauty of the color attract the eyes, and yet, when thou hearest that he is a thief, your mind recoils from the man. Thou beholdest on the other hand a bent old man, leaning upon a staff, scarcely moving himself, ploughed all over with wrinkles. Thou hearest that he is just, thou lovest and embracest him. Such are the rewards promised to us, my brethren, love such, sigh after such a kingdom, desire such a country, if you wish to arrive at that with which our Lord came, that is, at grace and truth. But if you covet bodily rewards from God, thou art still under the law, and therefore thou shalt not fulfill the law. For when thou seest those temporal things granted to those who offend God, thy steps falter, and thou sayest to thyself, Behold, I worship God, daily I run to church, my knees are worn with prayers, and yet I am constantly sick, there are men who commit murders, who are guilty of robberies, and yet they exult and have abundance, it is well with them. Was it such things that thou soughtest from God? Surely thou didst belong to grace. If, therefore, God gave to thee grace, because he gave freely, love freely. Do not for the sake of reward love God, let him be the reward. Let thy soul say, One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord. Do not fear that thine enjoyment will fail through satiety, such will be that enjoyment of beauty that it will ever be present to thee, and thou shalt never be satisfied, indeed thou shalt be always satisfied, and yet never satisfied. For if I shall say that thou shalt not be satisfied, it will mean famine, and if I shall say thou shalt be satisfied, I fear satiety, where neither satiety nor famine are, I know not what to say, but God has that which he can manifest to those who know not how to express it, yet believe that they shall receive.